Welcome to the Do Zone, where entrepreneurs go to get things done. I'm your host, Josh Thomas. You can find me on all social media at JT Literally. Each week, I bring on experts from a variety of backgrounds to share their secrets on how to optimize performance so you can take massive action and crush your goals. Speaking of optimizing performance, we now have trained AI sales and support agents ready to help you close more deals, reduce your expenses, and free up your time for higher value tasks. To learn more, go to anabots.ai. That's anabots.ai. Today's guest, mi tocayo, Joshua Brumley. Joshua is a Washington State native, raised in the Tacoma area. After graduating from the University of Washington, he earned his MBA at Jacksonville University and completed his law degree at Florida Coastal School of Law. Joshua has practiced as an attorney in the Washington State Bar Association since 2015. He has served as pro tem judge and is the owner of Brumley Law Firm, whose mission is to empower our community by providing client-focused service, one car crash at a time. Josh, welcome to the Do Zone. Tell us something you believe is the key to getting stuff done that most people wouldn't think of.
I think especially in law students, I'm a professor at a local paralegal program, a college paralegal certification program, and I meet a lot of law students. I meet a lot of paralegal students, and I meet a lot of young lawyers who get really overwhelmed with just how many things are pulling their attention, how many tasks are all happening at once, and you get overwhelmed thinking about the bar exam and how to pass the bar exam and all these different exams or tests or homeworks or regular work or life. And guidance that really helped me was trying to prioritize the most important things first. Don't do everything all at once because you'll get nothing done. Take one task off your list and move like a robot from task to task to task. Just focus on one thing at a time. Focus on one thing that you can complete. And that motivation from completing a task will help you to get to the next task. And I think a lot of times people spread themselves really thin and then get overwhelmed and don't do anything. And to dig yourself out of that rut, you just gotta find the low-hanging fruit that you can knock off that checklist and then just prioritize the next most important thing.
It's like it's unnatural for us as human beings to just focus on one thing. It's like we have the best intentions, and even though we are constantly trimming the fat, we're always adding more of it back on to keep ourselves like frazzled and busy. There's probably some physiological reason for that, but it's a challenge we all face. And I'm curious. I'm 100% in agreement with you, and say, hey, I say that all the time, but then I catch myself not doing it, and I have to kind of course correct. It's almost like we need that accountability to not turn into that person. And what are some things that you found kind of keep you focused and keep you on track with that one thing at a time mindset?
I struggle with it too. I have a really good staff who I feel like is they have collectively, I think I have about 40 employees now, something like that, and the senior management staff have worked with me long enough for me to feel like they're an extension of me. And sometimes they echo my advice to them back to me when I need to hear it. So that's really good. They're like, maybe you need to just take a step back and understand this other person's point of view. And I'm like, you're right. You're right. They're doing their best, and I should just be excited that they're trying so hard. So it's good to have people who are like-minded in my management circle, because not only do they manage the way I would manage when my team has gotten to this big, but that advice trickles back upstream to me as well when I need to hear it. So that's one way.
And I think that's one of the most important things you could have said, because you led with a piece of advice that says, don't get all over the place and get frazzled. Just focus on one thing, get the one thing done, move to the next thing, and get that reward. And everybody's like, yeah. Like, easier said than done, pal. And then
Yeah.
when you admit, hey, I struggle with the same thing, it's like, okay, you're human.
Yeah.
And we're all human. And so what do we do to keep the guardrails in place so that we can actually realize this? And sometimes we just got to surround ourselves with people that can give us the advice back. We say, there's a big joke about do what I do what I say, not what I do.
Yeah.
We're all guilty of that, you know, and sometimes we need somebody to say what we said to do, and so that we can hear it for ourselves, and then we have to be willing to receive that.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. It's just difficult sometimes to hear it, and it's never difficult to say it, but it's even more difficult to take it, that step back when you're stressed out, and it's important. The law is a very stressful place, and being a paralegal, working on deadlines, being a legal assistant who's maybe newer to the process, and everyone else knows so much more than you. And so there's a lot of different, put yourself in someone else's shoes that has to happen for you to be a good manager.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that I know you're very passionate about is sometimes most of the world, most of the people listening to this podcast, they're not lawyers. And most of us, hopefully, I don't know, maybe I'll get some demand letters in the mail from that, but most of us look up to lawyers. And because it's hard, you got to go to a whole lot of extra school. You got a whole lot of extra stress. You're responsible sometimes for somebody's freedom or their financial liabilities and representing people. But I know enough lawyers to know that a lot of them are really crappy. And most of them just do the bare minimum. And the majority of them probably, as far as I can tell, they really hate their job and they're paper pushers.
Yeah.
But there's a responsibility, in your opinion, that you have as a law firm to do better and do more for your community. And I'd love to hear you talk about that because I'm coming from my perspective. I look up to anybody that goes to an extra 4 years of school to advance themselves. I think that's awesome. But then I've
Yeah.
also met and hired and gotten the unfortunate results from some really, really crappy ass lawyers.
Yeah.
And they weren't doing enough because they weren't on top of their game and they didn't really see the bigger picture. And so what, tell me a little bit more about what is a local law firm not doing enough of for their community, and how do we change that?
Well, I'm really vocal with other law firms and other even small like solo practitioner attorneys. Everyone wants to spend money on marketing, but no one wants to do community involvement marketing. And so I think it's super important to be involved with local nonprofits. And there's tons of them. There's one for anything you can think of. So find something that you're passionate about, get involved, and they're for sure going to have some legal needs that you could donate your time to just be around. But separate from, the administrative side of helping a nonprofit with their governance or procedures or strategies or whatever, maybe people aren't business minded and they are lawyers in a completely different world. Do a Know Your Rights event for whatever your skill set is with a nonprofit that's from an underserved community. So there are tons of people who have immigration consequences who are scared to call the police after a car accident, even when they're like injured, because they don't want the police to come to the scene and ask them questions about their immigration status. They don't understand, even if they're going through the process legally, the process is scary enough to just say, I don't want to risk what I'm going through to have a police officer come and potentially give both of us a ticket. I don't know how the law works here, and I don't want to be involved in that. I just want to keep my head down. So then they go through being victimized from a car accident, and they deal with their body damage on their car out of their own pocket, and they just deal with neck and back injuries for the rest of their life because they were scared. And so that bugs me. And that's an impetus for the Know Your Rights events that I put on at the local nonprofits here for different immigration and community centers.
And so let me ask you about that, broadly speaking. And so there are certainly immigrants who listen to this podcast. There are certainly people in underserved communities who listen to this podcast. But broadly speaking, as an attorney, what have you found are some of the rights that all of us universally have that most of us take for granted or aren't even aware of that we have? Like, what are some of the most common things that people just assume they don't have a right to, but they actually do?
The rights that people have exist whether they know about them or not. And the problems that we're seeing is lawyers don't go out of their way to educate people. If you have money and you walk into a lawyer's office, they're all yours, but they're not out in the world educating people. And maybe it's my background, being a professor, that I just think that's super important to be able to break these concepts down into plain language for everyone to be able to digest. But that's kind of not the norm, and that really frustrates me because I think, I'm one person who has this much knowledge out of all of the areas of practice in the world. And I'm constantly encouraging other attorneys to say, hey, I don't do immigration, but I'm sure many people could benefit from just you talking on a panel with me. And so I'm bringing people to these nonprofit Know Your Rights events that I put on and saying, hey, you do family law. I would love to have you as part of my panel for this event and see what you could bring as far as education for any of the people here who English is their second language, and the law is a language written for people who don't even understand English as their first language. Like, this is, it's so complicated. It's so I extremely complicated that imagine going to another country and trying to understand their laws written in their language that you don't speak well. I just can't imagine doing that. And so, that's really the push in the community, and I think it pays dividends for itself, not only with karma, but with actual clients that I leave with sometimes from these events. So, people that have the financial means to hire someone might still not do it because they don't know what they don't know. And so by putting on these events and having an interpreter for these events, I'm able to reach a really diverse group of people who are probably more underserved than the general public.
Yeah, and it seems like it's the other side of the coin where I've heard before, ignorance of the law is not a defense. It's not a proper
Yes.
defense. And ignorance of your rights is not a proper defense either. I wasn't aware that I had the right to not say anything. I wasn't aware that I had the right to not be illegally searched, without a warrant and those sorts of things. Some of those more basic things. Well, I didn't know that. Well, that's not really proper defense. It's your responsibility to understand your rights. But what I hear you saying is, as a legal expert, somebody who has gone through and does understand the law, it's your responsibility to interpret that to the public so
Right.
that everybody can benefit.
Yeah, and I think that if you're interested in growing your business, the financial payout of doing something like that to be seen as a leader in your community for an area of law that people have like maybe less than the basic knowledge of, because there's so much misinformation out in the world that people could look up on Google and say, oh, I thought this was the law, but turns out that's for Washington, D.C., and that has nothing to do with Seattle, Washington. And, there's just so much bad information available on the internet that you might not ever be able to get your question answered consistently unless you talk to a lawyer. So when people are like, yeah, I bought a billboard, but they've never done, any community events or anything like that, I'm just like, why? The amount of money for this billboard is, it's not going to earn you new clients. It's a marketing play for your brand, but if you're not involved in the local community, why would anyone care that your face is on a billboard? They want to know who that guy is on the billboard. They want to see you at these community events and then drive past your billboard and be like, that's the guy that helped at that clinic. Oh my gosh, I got to call him. That kind of thing.
That's right. So let's do this. I want to spend a couple of minutes because you're a huge advocate for Know Your Rights. Know Your Rights 101. So let's talk about anything that would universally apply, police interactions, something that people are just going to normally do. And how do we navigate through and understand our rights and protect ourselves?
Well, I think the number one thing that people maybe don't do that really limits what I can do on the next steps, people don't call the police during the accident while they're there. Excuse me. By calling a police officer to the scene of the crime or the scene of the accident,
Accident, whatever,
there's
yeah.
Yeah. It might be a crime. There might be a DUI. There might be an assault. There might be all sorts of other things that happen. But if it's a minor accident and the person's apologetic, sometimes people are just like, let's just exchange information. The problem I've seen with that is that after you drive away, the not at fault party, that person who was at fault gets on the phone, calls the police, says you did a hit and run, reports you to their insurance, and now you're defending the case that you should have been the plaintiff for. And that's something that, unfortunately, in this world, we have people that take advantage. And so I just recommend calling the police no matter what, taking photos of everything, not just your car, not just your car and their car, but take pictures of their driver's license, take pictures of how the cars are laid out before you move them in the road, because where they come to rest might matter, might prove liability for one car leaving its lane of travel over another. And we don't see these photos very often. If a police officer says, we're not coming, we're too busy, it's up to you to file that police report online. So you can file your own police report, and you better believe that that's the advice that the other person's going to get if they contact an attorney. So why wouldn't you? But if you don't know how to do that, or if you don't know that you can do that, or that you're supposed to do that, it's not something that people just, that's the experience I have. Not the experience that someone's in their very first car accident is going to have. And so that's something that I push people to take away from my talks is call the police every time, take photos of everything. You don't know by taking photos of where in this intersection or on the streets, just all the surrounding businesses that maybe a camera was facing out from one of these businesses from a gas station or something. I've seen Ring cameras on people's houses that picked up a video of the whole accident occurred that I was able to get that video footage. But if you're like, yeah, I think it happened between this block and that block, that's going to make it a lot harder for me to try to track down video footage or evidence that helps bolster your claim. So photos are key. And then lastly, social media is the enemy. So many people after they're in an accident post those photos on the internet and start posting things that might hurt their credibility or hurt their case without them knowing about it. Things can get taken out of context. I tell my clients, just deactivate your social media after you're involved with a car accident. It's not forever. It's just while you're involved in the car accident, your significant other's social media, if they're posting pictures and videos of you, that's all accessible from the insurance companies. So if you're at the gym trying to get better, the insurance company might see pictures or videos of you working out and say, look, you're not injured, you're at the gym. But you might be used to bench pressing three times what you're dealing with, and you're trying to get back to normal. And if we've seen it, if your significant other is like, I'm so proud, look how strong he is, LOL, posting videos and stories and all this stuff. And then the insurance company uses it against you in a deposition. So just it's just easier to just not be constantly on the internet if you're involved with the car accident case. But that's tough for young people especially.
So Josh, where can we go to learn more about what you do and get more involved?
I have a wonderful website. It's brumleylawfirm.com. I'm also releasing a book, fall 2024. It's called Protect Your Neck. And you can learn more about my book on my website, brumleylawfirm.com. And I also have my own podcast, Iron Mind Podcast. And you can follow both of those on Instagram. Lots of really cool content about business or car accidents or the legal field, law students, what they have to go through, just anything that you're interested in. Very Seattle focused and really cool content on both pages.
Excellent. So ironmindpodcast.com and brumleylawfirm.com. Yeah.
Yep. And at ironmind.podcast on Instagram, at Brumley Law Firm on Instagram.
Excellent. We're going to wrap up from here. Thanks so much to our guest, Josh Brumley, for joining us and sharing some wisdom about how he gets stuff done and how to protect your neck. For those of you who want to engage with him directly, you can go to brumleylawfirm.com or you can go to the Iron Mind Podcast, ironmindpodcast.com. Whether you're on your morning commute, in the gym, or somewhere out in the field, snap a selfie, tag me at JT Literally. Show me what you do while you're in the do zone. And one more time, if you're looking to boost your sales, cut your costs, free up your time for higher value tasks, get yourself an Anabot. Learn more at anabots.ai. That's it. Let's get to work.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Do Zone podcast. If you're running a service-based business that's looking to grow this year, let's talk about how we can slingshot you into momentum with a quick injection of cash and sales. Our clients typically see results in as little as 7 days. To learn more about what we do, you could go to factorone.io. Once again, that's factorone.io. We'll see you next time.